I sent him outside one time. I was like, get outside before the snow. I was like, go. You cannot do that in here, or at least go in the family room where there's at least like a little
room,
a little space. Yeah. And no, they're just flapping. And yeah. And then I'm like, do not hurt dad. Cause you break him, you buy him, you break him. That's you're right. Taking him back to New York with you in your tiny apartment in the one bed. So just beware. So
I like that. I'm going to say that to me. You break him, you buy him. That's
I do.
Good...
I'm like, you break him, you take him. Yeah. I mean, I can't do it.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
There, that was supposed to probably be our blooper, but now it's gone.
Holly forgot to press the record button, people.
You guys, it's fine.
Welcome, because we are into what, episode 119?
Yeah, but you distracted me because you had a cute hoodie sweater. So I saw the sweater and then you were like, it has a hood. And then you put it up. And then I said, oh, you're like Elsa from Frozen. And then you said, let it go. And then I sang Let It Go. And that's really what happened. That's what you guys missed.
So. I'm going to do the whole podcast with my hood up.
I think you should. I think it's cute.
I am.
It's got little designs on it and everything. It's adorable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, see the sleeve?
I really like it.
It's cute.
Did they have it in black?
No.
Oh, where'd you get it?
I had to get some color. I don't remember. It's kind of old. But
oh,
it's chenille. It's,
yeah, that's what it looks. It looks fuzzy. That could have been a top three for you today if you had played your cards right.
I don't remember where it is. It's probably a Coldwater Creek, actually, from...
Back in the day. Y'all remember Coldwater Creek?
They're still out. They don't have their stores, I don't think. But
are they just catalog?
I still get catalogs. I still order from them.
That's like a teacher store, man. That's like...
It is.
They had some cute stuff back in the day.
They do. Here's the deal, though. They have good petites, and I have to have petites, and it's very difficult to find petites. So they're one of my go-tos.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. They had some cute stuff, so... Hi, she already said it's 119, episode 119, coming to you from the still frozen tundra Arctic blast of St. Louis. But we have sunshine today.
Hey, we have sunshine. It is over freezing.
Okay, look at y'all.
We did get some snow. We got out of the no snow hole.
You did. I'm so, I was so excited for you. I can't even tell
you. Listen, I did look at radar, and I think I posted on my Facebook, and there is snow north of us. East of us, west of us, south of us. And here is Savannah in a big old nothing hole.
It really did. She sent me the picture and it was like, you know, radar, and it was all the blue around. And then right at Savannah was just gray. Just there was nothing.
It's just the no snow hole.
Look at you.
That's what I call it. It's the no.
It's, so, you know why? It's because of all your hot air. It just blows right up there. It can't even snow. My glasses are crooked. I don't know what's happening today.
So we did get snow on Friday, and it melted pretty quickly, though. I mean, we've still got, like, my yard still has a lot, but it melted off the roads fairly quickly.
That's good, though. That's good for y'all, because otherwise no one could get anywhere.
Yeah, right. Sunday when we were going to church, but we're prepped for it. I mean, somebody took a picture at Walmart. There was, like, one... lone loaf of bread on the shelf. So yeah, the South preps. It is the milk and bread forecast.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do here. It's the same here, which is weird because we're just right in the middle, but it's the same thing. All of a sudden, like, yeah, just weird things are just gone. So yeah, it is what it is.
So anyway, but I did, when we were going to church yesterday, and I looked back behind me. I said, oh, I bet I'm not going to have school tomorrow, Ron. And he said, oh, you'll go to school. I mean, because roads were clear. I said, nope, look up there. Look under the shade of the tree. It was still as much snow as we had the first day. I mean, on when we woke up Friday morning. Because it just doesn't melt in the shade.
But if it's off the roads, why?
It was on the road. And see, here you've got all the country roads.
Oh, true. That may not be clear.
That are very shady. And so you had a lot of slick spots, but.
Okay. Yeah.
We do have to go. I got the call. We do have to go to school tomorrow.
Oh, boo.
But But if the bus can't make it down your road, call your school and it will be an excused absence. Or if you drive your kids.
Tell that to people right now.
If you drive your kids to school and your road is too covered, just call the school. And I'm thinking,
are you going to call Wes, the school?
Wes, I just cannot. My street here is covered and I mm-hmm. can't make it.
Yeah. Well, you could have Ron call him for you. Can't take her to school.
Can't make it.
She needs an excuse. I don't think it works for the teachers the same way, but you know, maybe it does. I don't know.
Equal opportunity person here.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Even though you live like in the main area of town, right 2 minutes from main road, you know, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. So
it shouldn't. I shouldn't have to.
Why don't
to
you go outside and fall down and slip or something? And then call.
I break a hip.
You might. You have to time it very well. You have to plan it carefully, so that you fall in like a soft thing of snow, and then you can say, "I fell on the ice. I can't come in.
Trying to get to school." Listen, yesterday one of the little girls at church had a birthday party, mm-hmm. and it was at the skating rink, and she invited. I'm sure she invited Mr. Ron, but I'm allowed to come too.
Okay, good.
And so, I'm on the invitation. So we're sitting there and I said, all right, I've got to go back here and wrap this gift that you're going to get all the credit for. Mm. He said, no, I won't. He said, no, I won't. They're going to know that you bought it and wrapped it and all that. And I said, no. Mm-mm. 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 I said, nope. I bought it. I shopped for it. I bought it. I wrapped it and it will be.
And remembered to bring it. And remembered to bring it to the place.
And carried it into the party.
Yes.
And you will get all of the credit.
Yes, of course.
He was like, no.
Of course you will.
So her mother looks at her and pulls down. And I had written her name on the card. And Ron, up above her name, wrote Stinky. And she said, Hattie, guess who this one's from? And she went, Mr. Ron. I said, told you.
You just looked over at him and went,
told you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What'd I say?
But that fool skated.
Did he? I was just going to say, I need a skate report. He can roller skate?
He can. Well, he got rollerblades. He rollerblades even.
He can rollerblade. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tim can roller skate. There. I'm hopeless. Yeah. Okay.
I can roller skate, but I intentionally did not take socks because I thought I will be too tempted and I'll get out there and fall and that'll be it.
This stage in life, we can't risk
it. So he got out there and roller skated, but one of the kids went out. They actually have even walkers on.
Oh yeah.
On rollers. So I have a picture of Ron with his walker on his rollerblades.
Yes. They have that at the skate rinks here too. Like, you know, which is great. Cause when you're learning and stuff, or for those of us that, you know, I could back in the day. I mean, I was never great, but I could sort of ice skate back in the day, but I never got the hang of roller skating. So
there you go. But then we got home and he looked at me and he said, I'm going to bed. Yeah. My back hurts.
Yeah. He done killed himself. Yeah. He done and acted like it was nothing. This is what these fool men do too. Mm-hmm. They act like nothing is wrong when they're doing it and they go all in. Tim will grab every chance he gets. Our boys, especially Thatcher, because, you know, and he comes up behind him and he grabs him in some kind of weird headlock and thing. And I'm like, and then Thatcher just goes. And Thatcher is a little more fit than
what? Really?
Tim. And he takes jujitsu. He's a blue belt jujitsu. So he immediately starts doing moves. And then Tim is just grabbing fingers and bending them back. And he's like, you can't do that. And he's like, yes, I can. And they're right by all my dishes. I mean, I can't tell you over Christmas break how many times these little jujitsu wrestling matches broke out right in the kitchen, you know, where that little island table is and all these dishes are stacked. And I'm like, I sent him outside one time. I was like, get outside before the snow. I was like, go, you cannot do that in here. Or at least go in the family room where there's at least like a little
room,
a little space. Yeah. And no, they're just flapping. And and then I'm like, do not hurt dad. Because you break them, you buy them. You break them, you're taking them back to
He's
New
going
York
back.
With
yep.
you
yep.
in
yep.
your tiny yep. apartment in the one bed. So just beware. So
I like that. I'm going to say that to me. You break them, you buy them. That's
I do.
Good...
I'm like, you break them, you take them. Yeah. I mean, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Especially for foolishness.
Especially
this isn't
with
like
men, because they're so whiny when they're down.
Oh my God.
Gosh.
We don't even need to get into that.
I know. I know.
We don't even need to get into that.
Everybody knows it's true.
But it's true. So, well, so you've had a good snow. When I talked to you for a couple minutes, you were serving snow ice cream to Ron.
Snow cream. I did make snow cream. I'm used to making it for kids. It's so weird when you don't have kids.
I know, but you did it anyway. I'm really proud of you.
But I did it anyway. Thank you.
Yeah. You were like, I'm still doing it. We still want snow cream. What did you put in?
I still have a bunch.
Did you just do half and half and sugar? What'd you do?
I did half and half and sugar and vanilla and put in it. But then I thought it still needed something. And I had some sweetened condensed milk.
Oh,
so I threw that up in there.
Yeah. Ooh, you know what would be good in that?
What?
The adult version?
Rum chata.
You got it, girl.
Yeah.
You got it, girl. Some rum chata up in that ice cream, that snow cream.
Mm-hmm. That's a winner right there.
Ooh, you can make rum chata.
next snowstorm.
In
5 years.
you could do rum chata in them little snowman, little silicone things you were telling us about.
Man.
And have little snowman rum chata
Will they
cubes.
Freeze? Will they freeze?
Why wouldn't it?
Because it's but you could do the peppermint rum chata. That would be good in snow cream.
Yeah, I don't know if it would. I feel like it's got enough other ingredients, but you know, maybe it wouldn't.
I think it would be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a try. You need to try it and get back to us. Everyone wants to know. All the listeners are like, we need to know if we can freeze rum chata.
Everyone start praying for snow again, and I can come up with some new recipes.
Yeah, we need some snow recipes. That's exactly. And that doesn't count for your recipe today. That's snow cream. She's like, I'm done.
I'm done.
Get you some snow and put some sugar up in it.
I'll have you know, I have already published my recipe for today.
Gosh.
I am on it. I have researched it.
You are.
I have something to talk about later leading into my recipe. I'm good.
I'm so glad you do. I did not even type up an outline. Normally I type, and sometimes they're really short. Like, I'll be honest, my outlines are not like always. It's just is a way to guide me through, just kind of, you know, whatever, have something to go to. But
I do have a few things to talk about.
Oh, good.
So, good. Yeah, I do.
Go right ahead and get us into it.
So if you joined us last week, you know last week was our first day of school for the new semester. We're starting the spring semester, and I always give out a questionnaire at the beginning of each semester. And it's, you know, it's got a lot of questions. You know, why did you take culinary? You know, what do you know how to cook? What's your favorite thing to cook?
That's interesting. I didn't know you had all those questions. That's cool.
So I do a lot of those, but then I get kind of personal, I guess. You know, one of the questions is, what's one word that you would use to describe you? What's one word your best friend would use to describe you? What's one word what's one word that you think people think you're like, but you're really not?
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, and then just anything you want me to, you know, is there anything you want me to know about you? Is there anything you want to know about me? And then I think my last question, if you have any, you know, challenges, please let me know how I can help you, because I want everyone to excel.
I never had a teacher do anything like that. That's such a cool, get to know you time.
It is. It's a good, and I can see their, you know, I ask about their gifts. Are they decorators? Are they gifted in art? Are they gifted in math? Are they, you know, what are their talents and goals for this class? That kind of thing. Anyway, parents, I'm going to tell you, we're in a critical time. Mm. This is the first semester, and I have one class that I thought, my goodness, these kids are in bondage. I mean, every single one of them. And some of the answers, you know, that stand out. One was, what word would you say describes you? And I had dull was one.
Dull, D-U-L-L?
Dull. Yeah, dull. And another was unnoticed. And that one was hard, because this kid is a talented artist. He's a talented photographer. He's quiet. And I went up to the principal and I said, hey, I know you'd like to encourage kids. I want you to see this, you know, and I went on to tell him, I said, he could be excellent on the yearbook staff. He could be excellent for the newspaper.
Someone invite him to do something. Yeah, he can make a big difference.
Right, you know? Right. So, but yeah, unnoticed. And then one was, you know, what is your best friend? What word would your best friend use to describe you? I had several that said, I don't have a best friend. I don't have a friend. One said, I don't have time for friends. They interrupt my video games.
In the world? Were they just being silly?
No.
You think?
No. Okay. This is, no.
Wow.
No. And this is where we are. And there, this class in particular was over and over and over. And they are my younger, they're my sophomores coming up.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's a, there's a, you see it, I've seen it kind of decline year after year after year. And I don't know what has to change, but we have got to get these kids off these screens. I mean, I'm now at a point from, I don't like it to this is critical. We are at a critical mental health.
Yep.
I mean, we're in a crisis with this. They cannot, they don't talk to each other. They don't interact. They don't know how to talk. I mean, the lack of personal contact is frightening.
They don't have to go. I mean, we've seen that with kids, you know, over the past several years, many years now, getting their driver's licenses later and later. Now, I don't know if that's the case for, because you guys are a little more spread out in some senses.
No, it's been the case here.
Yeah, because, you know, you kind of have to if you're going to see your people at all, but that's the point.
We've gone from they don't have to have a car to go see their people to now to I don't want to see people.
Yeah, they don't, you know, they can connect online. They can connect some ways. But then if you do that for long enough, like you say, then it kind of can become, you know, to the next group. Yeah. It is. It's an issue. And, the answer is just it's with parents. And I mean, they have to be the ones to initiate. And I don't put all the blame. I'm not trying to be like, but that is where it is. I mean,
no, I am. I mean, and
you,
I will
and
say
teachers,
that.
You know, you did a great job asking those questions of those kids is really great because we have to find out stuff like that.
I am going to put the blame on the parents here that can be harsh. But here's the deal. Parents are just as addicted to their phones, too. And when you have your head buried in a screen, that's what they're learning. That's what they're doing. And you are missing out on their life. Here's the other thing. Who buys the phone?
Well, we all know that the kid at 10 is not going out and buying all the games and the game system and the video games and the computer and all that. They are not doing that. They're not capable of doing that. Right. So we do have to acknowledge that you're the gatekeeper.
It's easier. Listen, trust me, I've been through it. It's easier to throw a screen in front of your kid's face to go through the grocery store than them crying and begging and whatever. I know that. But you have to factor in brain development and that they need to look at the produce section. They need to see the organization of the cans. They need for the little old ladies to flirt with them in the store. This is, you know, critical brain development going on. And I don't know. I don't know. You know, we need one of those public service announcements with the Indian crying or something again. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Junior in his room not wanting to go out because it interrupts his video game time. That's about as sad as you can get.
Yeah, it really is.
Almost. I mean, not really. But you know what I'm saying. I will say,
and people may not know what I'm talking to if you're younger than we are, but back in the 70s, I mean, people had garbage in their car, right? Or you'd go and you'd get, you know, you'd be on a trip and you'd grab fast food and you had all this, you know, McDonald's wrappers or whatever you went through and people would just chunk them out the window. They just litter.
I didn't understand any of that because we didn't do that. Apparently they just threw it out the window.
It was a whole, and then a PSA, public service announcement came out and it had an Indian, I guess he was a chief.
I don't know. American warrior or chief male of some kind.
And he was, you know, and he was paddling his canoe and the waters were full of trash and he was walking, you know, and people were, and then all of a sudden it just zoomed in on his face and there was a tear.
Yeah. He was on running, his horse, like up overlooking a hill or something. Yeah.
And a tear ran down his face. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that changed America. Mm-hmm. People quit. I mean, not overall, we still have it, but not like it was back then. People quit throwing their garbage out the window. It was a powerful media thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a, you know, but there's still power in media, and I'm afraid it's going the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing else to add because you're exactly correct. And it's just, we have to,
Wake up.
Can only say it so many times, like, and, you know, and we get, but it's easier also just let your kid eat whatever crap they want.
Right.
It's easier to let your kid run in the street and not pay attention to them. It's easier to do all those things. It's easier to let them wear whatever they want. It's easier to let everything, listen, it's all easier to just check out. Yeah. But the thing is that bill's going to come due.
That's right.
Okay. The bill's going to come due. And once they get grown, your kid
is the one that's going to have to pay for it.
They'll pay it, and all of society pays it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't know how to act.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to regulate. And they don't know how to, you know, do a job interview. Now, this is very generalized, you know. I mean, I love the younger, I mean, our kids, there's great and kids, there's great young adults. I see a lot of hope. I see a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
From young people and from kids about, you know, what they want to do. And what, I mean, you know, my kid, you know, Hudson's like, I don't have Instagram on my thing. I don't have that. You know, they don't do as much as what we think.
I am hoping that this generation, because now my kids are seeing it, you know, and I'm hoping that they flip and, you know, in their parenting.
Which tends to happen. Yeah,
right.
They're going to be all the Montessori, like woodblock and the twigs.
Yeah,
they're like, well, we had when we were in the 70s, you know, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Be like, here's a stick, honey. And
go outside. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was an interesting book I read years and years and years ago, and I have it somewhere. I kept it in my library, and I can't remember who it was by, but it's called Last Child in the Woods. I remember the title. And this was years ago. I mean, this was back in my homeschooling days. This was a long time ago. Last Child in the Woods. And it was basically about exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And this was kind of the start of the technology, you know, and not just technology, but it was, they even named it, I think, they kind of came up with a name of nature deficient disorder. Like kids are not going out. No, of course we know a lot of them are like, we're talking broadly. We're talking generationally.
Yes.
We're talking in the numbers and statistics. Difference is that they are not spending time in nature and outside, and that's for a variety of reasons. Technology being one, but safety being another. You know, stranger danger, 80s, all that started to really turn things around.
Yeah.
You know, we used to be able to run around our neighborhoods and not worry as much. Yeah. Now maybe we should, but that is a legitimate situation that parents are have to deal with.
Yeah.
But there was one quote at the beginning of one chapter, and it's kind of it's not funny, along the lines of what you were referring to or on that questionnaire, but it was like a quote from a kid was asked, why you don't go outside to play? And he said, there aren't any outlets out there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, nope, there's no outlets out there.
No outlets.
No, I can't go out there. Yeah. It's not funny. But anyway, that's,
So
I mean, I could go on and on for hours and hours.
Yeah.
I could talk about schools. I could talk about the taking away of all the things that, you know, we could just, and parents, again, the encouragement, because it can become just really overwhelming. What do you do? We're a generation. What do you do, you know, when your kids 10, 11, 12, 13, you know, and in this, you know, this is where you are.
Yeah.
And that is tough. I have not been in that exact place,
I have a
so
little bit.
I don't know.
I have a little bit in that because I did not get my kids video games. I did not want, I mean, I just, I wasn't about it. I saw the damage that it did and we went outside and it was hard on the kids. Sometimes, I mean, there were kids who didn't want to come to our house to play because we didn't have a video game system. I was like, nope, we go outside.
Taylor Shank was playing Madden football when he
was
five.
Well, this was, JB. This
okay,
was JB.
Okay, and I'm like, worst, that boy was on the Madden football.
The worst mistake I think that I made, I don't want to say that because, so my cousin said, hey, I've got this PS2 that I don't play anymore. Can your boys have it? And I was like, sure, okay. And I broke down. It was free. He was giving it to us.
Sure.
I'd had it kind of with the being the freak house. Worst mistake I made.
Mm-hmm.
Was letting, because then the whole addiction started.
Listen, and the thing is, you it can be done. You just have to control it. And mm-hmm. and let me tell you, and this is not, and we're not sitting here again going, you know, just do this, do that. But honestly, goodness, again, it's the same thing. Do you let your child just shove candy in their mouth all day long because they want to?
Yeah.
No, you put it up high. You put it where they can't get it. You monitor what they're eating to some degree. You let them have treats. Sure, you can have candy. Sure, you can play the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it has to be.
But you got 30 minutes.
And let me tell you what. That was not a joy. That was probably one of the kind of bones of contention, if you want to put that, say that. Again, it's part of parenting. If it hadn't been that, it might have probably been something else. But they each had an hour on their little computer games. We had one computer in the office right there. Oh, you know, whenever we got into that, them growing up, you know, Lego computer games.
Yeah.
Minecraft, you know, Zoo Tycoon was a big favorite. You know, you can absolutely do the things, but it is, I remember I would say to the kids, because they each had an hour, you know, after school or after whatever, and man, and they laugh at it to this day because they're like, yeah, I know. Thatcher be like, I get to go first because blah, blah, blah. And I called it and Hudson would call. I mean, it was a whole thing. Exactly. You know what the front seat used to be like when we were growing up?
Uh-huh.
All we had to fuss over was who got to sit in the front seat. Uh-huh. These kids, it's the computer time. Okay. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. My sister and I would shove each other to get in that front seat. Now it's stupid, but, you know, we had our system. They had a timer. Did it work all the time? No. Did I still have to monitor it? Yes. Was there fussing? But let me tell you what, when they started to not do the system and not monitor it correctly, it all went away. Because I'm like, if I have to spend my energy telling you all how to do this thing and when to get on and when to get off and the timer not working and you're not paying attention, and they all ratted each other out. It was great because they were like, he's not. And I'm like, if mom gets involved, y'all are not going to be happy because it's going to go away.
Yeah.
It's going to go away.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, they snap right back in. Now it happened again. It happened again. You know, so it is a constant. It was but that's the same way with TV. That's the same way with, you know, any of the things that we have in our kids' lives. You have to be the bad guy. It's your job to be the bad guy. So be the bad guy. And if it gets to be too much of a pain in the butt, you just snatch it right out of there.
Yeah.
And just root it up and be like, nope. Because guess what? Mama doesn't want to spend her time arguing with you guys and coming in here and trying to enforce this. If you guys can learn it and do it, and be respectful of the rule, be responsible, then you can have this as a treat. You can have this as a thing every day a little bit.
Yeah.
But the minute you start to get all, you know, entitled and all making me have to come in and arbitrate between all this, goodbye.
We're done.
Goodbye. Go out in the yard.
We're
See
done.
You later.
Yeah.
We're done. Yeah. And I tell you what, you do that, it'll work. The phone, same thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Same thing.
Yep. So one of the questions to a girl asked me, and I have been... Or she wrote, you know, on the questionnaire, I haven't answered her yet. My last question on my questionnaire is there anything that you want to know about me? Mm-hmm. And a girl wrote, do you think you're pretty? Not smart aleck. That's not a,
okay.
Do you think you're pretty?
Okay.
And I thought about that for a long time. I'm still thinking about it. And my first thought was, does anybody? I mean, isn't that why we have such a huge... makeup
honest.
And
mm-hmm.
industry and, you know, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody, I mean, everybody's got insecurities or, you know, imperfections or it's why the whole world is airbrushed and filtered and, you know, all of that. You've even got your, you know, the most perfect person you think in high school is, you look on their Instagram or their whatever, and they're filtered.
So what did you say?
I haven't said anything yet. Okay. I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know, and also as you grow older, your definition of pretty changes, you know,
That's a good thought.
Understand that world beauty is not true beauty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of people, and because I'm trying to go back, you know, to high school, that I thought were, you know, pretty in high school, and physically they were pretty, but they were not really
right. Pretty. They weren't. And she's asking pretty. She's asking service.
She's asking,
you know.
But then I thought, what do I think, though? I think that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And that should be my answer is that the God of all creation knit me together in my mother's womb, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And that's truth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a world standard. It is not a, that's truth. Mm-hmm. You know, some days I feel prettier than others.
Yeah, that's a, and that's some truth too.
Years I feel prettier than,
and are there still sometimes stuff that I'd like to change? And I think, oh, I wish that was different. I wish, are there some things that I really like about, those are all true. Those are all true. So
it was an interesting question.
That is, I've never, deep thoughts, man.
I've never had a student make me ponder something for, you know, days.
Well, I'd share that with her too. I think that'd be great to share. You said, well, you know what? I pondered that for several, you really took me on a little inner, you know, self-reflection time. Thank you for that.
So,
that's awesome. Yeah. Wow. So, okay.
I had some interesting questionnaires this time. So
you did. Anyway. You really did. So, which I just, again, think it's so great that you do that, because I just think it, first of all, even just by doing that shows each of those students that they are valued, because you valued enough to ask them these questions. And you'd be surprised how, like the one who said they were dull or not noticed, even just having someone ask them to fill this out because I want to know these things can be pretty significant. So that's very cool. She's the teacher of the year, you all. And she's teacher pretty too.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully.
That's exactly.
Okay. So you ready for my next topic?
I am. This is the Joni Go Show.
Okay, it's the Joni Show. Mm-hmm. So this is going to lead into my recipe.
Oh, okay.
But as we are we're talking on Monday and the show drops on Thursday. And so that will lead our listeners into Inauguration Day. And I thought it would be interesting to go back and look and see what was the meal that, you know, that the individual presidents chose. And I don't have a
for Inauguration Day?
For Inauguration. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah,
they get to pick.
Okay.
And, now I've forgotten. I think it was Jackson. So at that point,
he was terrible.
Well, at that point, you could just walk in the White House. I mean, it was not like security and on all that. So all these people flew in and
this is Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
Right. So this is, they're in buggies. They're not flying. Ain't nobody flying.
No, I mean, but they're flying into the White House. I mean,
I got you.
People I guess I can't say that anymore, can I?
No.
I mean, they are running into the White House. You know, I mean, they're flocking to. How's that?
Yes,
they're
flocking
to. You know, big, huge party, everybody, so much so that he had to go out the back door and like went and ate in some little shed.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. But they had these big barrels of like orange drink or something. Oh. And it became a big old, you know, just out. Things were broken.
His was historically rambunctious White House in general, but his inauguration was a little bit of a people got a little out of control.
So here's what I found. George Washington, a far cry from today's celebrations, the first president of the United States actually dined alone that night. After taking the oath of office in New York City, he sat down to eat while awaiting the arrival of Martha Washington.
It was just a regular little night.
It was just a regular,
him.
It was not a, I mean, for the very first president of the United States of America, it was just a...
Sat down and had a meal and waited for his wife.
Sat down and waited for his wife. Okay. It wasn't even there, you realize, at the inauguration.
Then. Yeah, that's totally different. I mean, again, that had never been done. No one knew this was going to become a thing that it is now. Like, they didn't, you know, it was just, that was the official kind of swearing in. And that was it. There was no parade. There was no probably anything.
So Madison decided to do things a little differently. He threw a midnight party with ice cream. And that is what set the nation's inaugural traditions on the trajectory that we're on now.
Okay, because he kind of made it a celebration. Okay, Madison.
Abraham Lincoln, like Madison, he had a midnight buffet and party. After the attendees spent the night dancing, dinner was served. Now, this is at midnight.
Okay. Oh, my Lord.
Okay, they've danced all night. They have all this. They've done all that. Guests carelessly rushed to the buffet lines, ravishing the spread. They ravished the spread and of the exhibits nearby. Many considered this event to be the nation's first food fight.
Oh, my.
Well, was it Abraham
in the world,
Lincoln?
Were they just running and flinging stuff? And
Evan, yes. Yep.
They need to calm down.
Grabbing. Okay. Well, can you imagine? A midnight. You've been dancing all night. You hadn't had anything for supper.
I'm not going to knock people down and throw food. I mean, good grief.
All right. Dwight Eisenhower, known to many of us. So he's known for having the first ever inaugural luncheon. This is where it switched from supper to lunch.
Okay.
First ever hosted by Congress. And this is where the tradition is that goes today.
They do that now. They do. They go up to the big, don't they do the big gallery hall? I think they have it up
inside the old Senate chamber. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have a nice little luncheon for the new president and people. And yeah, they do. I forgot they do that. Okay.
Yeah. So they dined on creamed chicken, baked ham, and potato puffs.
Okay. That's pretty good, Ike. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. John F. Kennedy. Yes. John F. Kennedy.
Okay. Listen, you're going to have some seafood. You're going to have like clam chowder. You're going to have lobster something.
Mm-hmm. You got
it's going to be French. It's going to be, I have a French twist to the menu because of Jacqueline.
What else would someone from New England eat other than lobster?
There you go. I nailed it.
Yep. Inaugural meal also included tomato soup, crab meat, and for Lyndon Johnson, Texas beef ribs, prime Texas beef ribs. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a big Texan. That was a big old Texan. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. George W. Bush. It doesn't say which one. Lobster must be a presidential favorite because George W. Bush dined on the famous lobster too, and it was prepared with a roasted Missouri quail with chestnuts and brined root vegetables, as well as steamed lemon pudding.
That sounds very, that surprises me. That it sounds delightful. It just sounds very like kind of old fashioned. It sounds, doesn't it? Like quail and the lemon put, like all that sounds very...
Very old-timey. Yeah, old timey. There is a, they say, I think since Reagan, I believe there has been a clam chowder. I'll have to go back and find that has been served every president since.
Oh, interesting. Kind of became a tradition. Okay.
Right. So Obama decided to turn back the clock for his first inaugural meal and pay homage to Abraham Lincoln. His menu consisted of things that were supposedly favorites of President Lincoln.
Oh, interesting.
They were even served on the china that was a replica of what Lincoln used.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. You know, I like a good China story.
Yeah. Yes.
I do.
There is, hang on. Yeah, it's a clam chowder that has been served with Reagan Reagan, and probably before Reagan, but Jimmy Carter broke the mold. Instead of having a big dinner, he had little parties where he served pretzels and peanuts.
Oh, of course he did. Of course. And to just chime in, y'all know this, that President Carter just passed away this last couple weeks since we last recorded. So we've had his funeral. It's been interesting to watch a little bit of history on that. So that's been interesting. Peanuts and pretzels. You know the story about how I wrote... I never sent it, but I started a letter to Jimmy Carter as a young whippersnapper. So in 80, 79 or whatever, he, 80, I guess. Because I was very upset when he lost the election to Reagan. I didn't know anything about anything at that time, but he was really the old first president I, you know, knew anything about.
Yes.
And he had his big smile and he was a peanut farmer, and Amy, yep, his daughter, was in the, yep, White House.
She was our age at that point, a couple of years older.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, like there was a daughter and a girl, mm-hmm, in the White House, mm-hmm, and he was a Christian, like born again, like really, yep, outspoken. So I could not figure out why. And my parents were so happy when the map was turning red with Reagan. I was like,
I know, same thing. I was the same way.
I was so upset. I started to write him a letter. I think I have it somewhere, but I am so upset. I cried and cried. Anyway, carry on.
I cannot. Yeah, I can't find where I swear it was up here. Maybe I'm missing it somewhere. Anyway, it's a very interesting, just Google. You can Google all kinds
of stuff. That is really interesting. I love that kind of behind the scenes information like that, because it all has meaning,
right?
You know, they yeah, or it's their favorites, or it has like special meanings because it's from the, you know, where they were from,
yeah,
or
yeah.
I think that's really, really interesting.
And of course, over the years, I mean, it's grown and grown and grown, mm-hmm, and grown, because you've, mm-hmm, got, you know, tons of people now who are doing all this. And I've forgotten which one it was, but it's not anybody really in our lifetime, Holly, mm-hmm, but the amount of food that they had, and one, and I kind of laughed, was like $3,000 worth of wine.
Oh.
Then I thought, okay, oh, that's okay. You know, it's about one bottle.
For, I was going to say, know, like, you know, so, that doesn't feed, that wouldn't go very far. Now,
so, but,
anyway,
but they said, but back in that time period,
oh, sure,
was a huge,
oh, I'm
amount
sure,
of wine.
It was a lavish.
And I forgot how many pounds of all kinds of meat that they had from everywhere.
Course.
And they're not saying what Trump will have at this,
yeah,
at this luncheon. That's evidently being kept under wraps.
So they get to pick. I'm sorry, I'm just picking. This is all fascinating. They and the first lady, I'm sure the whatever, get to decide the menu. Okay.
But so what they're doing though is taking a food that is native to every state, or that every state is known for.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, Texas is going to be some sort of beef.
Some beef situation. I got to find out all the ones then.
I know. Yeah, I'm curious to know what Tennessee's will be.
A Tennessee ham. I don't know, well, but you're not
but
really known for
you've pork. Also, well, I we know. Are. Memphis is known for ribs.
I know.
You know, but that Delta, once you start getting in that Delta area,
yes,
they are very known for their barbecue and their ribs.
Well, that is going to be fascinating. I am going to need to look that up.
You get to Nashville and they're famous for that hot chicken. So I don't know what
you have a lot to choose from. You have a lot to choose from in many of those places. So that'll be interesting to see. And they can just kind
maybe
of assign
he'll have
it.
A big old, maybe he'll have a big old basket of goo goos.
A little goose?
A little goose.
Trump. Listen, I know this comes out.
We're going to need the little goose.
I know this comes out just a few days before, but if you haven't thought about doing the little goose at your inauguration.
Moon pies. We need little goose and moon pies.
You will not be sorry. You will not be sorry if you have little dishes of little goose all over the table. Your people, the guests will be amazed.
Yes, they will.
We'll put that out there. I was trying to look up real fast, but I didn't get very far. What did he have? Do you know what Trump had last time?
I didn't find his his last time.
I was curious.
Yeah, they just kind of hit the high points of,
yeah,
you know,
the interesting things. So, yeah. Well, I'm going to need to know. So this is very exciting now.
Yeah,
someone else did that with, that might have been one of the first ladies, and I don't remember which one. Somehow Lady Bird Johnson came to my mind, but I'm not sure. It might have been older. Did, because not every first lady does a new China pattern. That's not something that a lot of them have, but it just depends on if it's needed, if you're needing to add more. You know, it's not like they all just come in and do it. But a lot of them do. And one of them did incorporated, am I getting this with flowers, you know, from all the state flowers or someone in the rug, you know, they've done that where they've incorporated the state flowers and things and all that kind of stuff. I'm maybe Melania did that in some kind of Christmas thing too. Now I'm getting all mixed up. But I love that
know.
Stuff.
I do too. I love the whole pageantry of it all and the tradition of it all.
Yes.
I just, the whole thing. I'd love to see the first ladies in their dresses.
Always. And what suit they're, coat they're wearing. And I always hope they can get out and walk, but you know, it doesn't always happen. But you know, Carter was the first one to do that. I did learn that. He was the first president to stop the motorcade and get out and walk in the
parade. Actually, that's why there was not the big luncheon for him. That's why he chose to have parties
so
that he could walk the whole parade. I did forget. I read that.
Oh, interesting.
Part too.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, but I did hear over this past week with all his funeral things and all that, that he did that. He just was really so focused on being a kind of just, you know, you say man of the people, but just kind of an accessible, just, you know, there had been a lot of, you know, we're coming right off of Nixon and Ford, you know, we're kind of coming off of a whole lot of situations. Yeah. So he, you know, was always pretty focused on just kind of being a regular old guy. So yeah, I didn't know that though. So there you go. Gosh, this is, let's have a month of just presidential trivia. Okay, carry on. Yeah. Give us your inauguration buffet. We're going to ravish the buffet.
Well, not cooking all that much, but I am going to give you a cake that has been served at many of the presidential luncheons here.
What?
It is a red, white, and blue. They call it a pound cake, but it's really a bundt cake.
You know I love a bundt. You know I love a bundt.
Bundt.
It's
really a bundt cake.
Okay.
So here you go. You need a cup of unsalted butter, 2 cups of sugar, 4 eggs, 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract, 3 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1 cup of blueberries, and 1.5 cups of raspberries.
Ooh.
Okay. So first you're going to set your butter out, let it get soft. You do need it softened.
Okay.
Then preheat your oven to 350 degrees and grease that just a standard tube pan. Go ahead and grease it up real good.
Okay.
Make sure you grease it really good.
And if it's got little cracks and it's a little fancier, you got to really get in there.
Yep.
And you got to use like Crisco you can't do like a, I don't even know that
butter.
A Pam spray.
I use butter. No.
I was going to say, I do like a Crisco or butter because you can't get the spray. I feel like it washes down.
Washes, I can taste the chemical in it. I don't ever use. I just
always prefer
butter. I go with butter.
Okay. So grease it up with a paper towel.
Grease it up. Good.
And get in all the little nooks and crannies.
That's right. Okay. All right. So with your electric mixer, cream your butter and sugar together until fluffy. Add your eggs and vanilla. Beat until that's just good and smooth and light. Mm-hmm. Make sure on that you are scraping down the sides and the bottom of your bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Or that butter sometimes will not get incorporated.
That's true. You'll get pockets when you scrape, you'll get pockets of like sugar and stuff that didn't get mixed in.
That did not get mixed in.
Okay.
Yep.
The president won't have that. The president will kick your butt right on out.
That's right. Cake. You can't cook at the White House. Okay.
Can you imagine? Oh my God. Okay.
All right. So where am I? Okay.
We've
in a separate
butter.
Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. In a separate bowl, you're going to mix your flour, your baking powder, and your salt, and then go ahead and stir that, mix that up together, and then start adding it to your cake batter, but don't overmix. You don't, because that'll make it tough and chewy.
You
know?
Okay. So, you want it to be a lighter, fluffy texture. Yeah. Okay.
So you're just going to incorporate it.
Okay.
And then, because then you also have to fold in your berries. So it's still going to get mixed.
This is going to be so good. This is making me happy.
Fold your berries in. Folding is you're just taking your spoon. It's like you're folding a towel. You're taking it under the batter, pulling it over the berries. And same thing until they're all mixed through there. And then that's done. And you are going to bake it in the oven until your cake tester comes out. Should take you about 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Does it need to come out clean in the middle or almost clean?
Come out clean in the middle.
Okay.
So take about 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, you guys.
Now, here's
what are we putting on top? What are we glazing it with?
Hang on. Let me say this. I'm going to give you a note here. You ready?
Okay.
And they didn't. So this is my own note.
Oh.
Look, you can use frozen blueberries and raspberries if you want to, but don't thaw them. put them in while they're frozen, because if you thaw them out, you're going to get mushy. And when you start folding them in, yeah, you're going to have a purple cake.
It'll just all, which, you know, yeah, I'm sure it tastes good, but you're right. They won't hold together.
Yeah.
So, the blueberries will, but the raspberries will not.
I would use fresh. If you can use fresh. Also, if you do use frozen, that you're going to probably add about 15 minutes to your cook time.
True. Because then, does it make it any more? Yeah, because it's going to add some water to it. It's going to add some.
Well, okay, even your fresh is going to release the liquid, but still.
Not as much as frozen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. But if you need to, you can do that. Okay. Yep.
So cool in the pan. When you take it out, cool it in the pan until you can kind of handle it. And then run like an offset spatula or a knife around your pan, and you're going to invert it onto a dish, not your cooling rack yet, onto a dish.
Oh, okay. Oh, because you're gonna be sure then, to do what she says, y'all, with the little knife around there, because some people just, you try to flip it. If you got to kind of make sure it's loosened around the middle and the, try to do that. Okay. So, I know, because I've done it.
And it's then, not, because then it's going to be upset, then you want to invert it back onto your cooling rack.
Okay.
So from the dish. So now it's right side up on your cooling rack.
What do you mean right side up? It'll be upside down on your cooling rack.
Hang on.
You dump it out of the pan.
Turn it out.
And that's the right side up.
No, because then that's your flat side, and you want the rounded side up.
No, if you take it out of the pan, it's going to be the flat side down.
Oh, that's right.
And then it's down.
That's right. Never mind. Don't listen to me.
Okay, I'm like thinking, are we serving it upside down? I didn't know. Okay, yeah. Scratch all that. Take it out of the pan, right onto your cooling rack? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, right onto your cooling rack then.
All right.
Okay. And then you are going to, you can decorate it. You can just, you can shake.
What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you, Caleb just sent me a message about your son. I'll tell you in a second.
I hope it's something really good.
So look, you're going to either put, you can dust it with powdered sugar, or you can make one of just that simple powdered sugar glaze, or you can make a buttercream frosting and spread around the top of it. Whatever you do after you do that, top it with some fresh berries.
Oh yeah.
Red and blue.
I'm feeling like a really nice, the glaze, the royal icing kind of glaze with some lemon. I'm feeling lemon, like a nice lemon glaze.
I was about
glaze
to say, yeah, lemon glaze.
With that blueberry and raspberry in there.
Mm-hmm. So here's the message that has popped up on my screen. Mosey, who is what they call Hudson, is Mosey. I don't know why. Mosey.
We don't know.
Mosey was about to marinate chicken in a Walmart bag.
Listen, he's marinating chicken.
He's marinating chicken.
We're going to take what we can take. So we're going to take what we can take. Look at you marinating chicken, Hudson. Your mama loves you. You're the best.
Anyway, that's my recipe right there.
Well, that sounds amazing. And they serve that. They kind of
that's one of the cakes that they put out. It didn't say for how long, but that it has been a traditional cake.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that sounds great. Y'all, we should make that this weekend before the inauguration is on Monday or Tuesday.
Monday.
Okay. It's on Monday, as is the, that same night. Listen, it's a big day. The national championship college football game is that night too.
It's also Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, are you kidding? All that same day?
All everything. Yeah. It's a big day.
Well, there's a lot going on. So make your little cake this weekend. I really might do that. I know I say I'm going to make every single one of the things that you say. And have I done any of them? I've done a couple, but see, when it's just Tim and myself, it's like...
I know, and it's like, what's the point here? I know. I send it to work with Ron.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. But this sounds delightful. And you know what you could do? Okay, see, you know, I'm always the one that come up with little adaptations. You could make this into cupcakes.
Mm-hmm. You could.
Just cut your cook time way down, make it just like she said, and put your little, either grease the cupcake things or put a little paper in there. You can do either one. I tend to not use the paper. I tend to just grease because I don't like the cake comes out. I don't know. Do what you want to do. I guess you could do little cute papers if you wanted to. And just do little cupcakes. And then same thing, just lessen your time by quite a bit, obviously. Mm-hmm. Test a little American flag. A little flag on that. And y'all that would be real cute. And then you could even half the rest, you know, whatever. Anyway, that's just a thought too. You could make cute little cupcakes. That'd be amazing. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's time for your top three.
Top three.
I know. I know. And I'm going to tell you, I have not bought anything. So
that's fine. You don't have to buy anything.
I know. So, however, I have bought a few things. We have started doing a study on Proverbs at my church. And so I found this book and I decided to go ahead and order it. And so I'm doing a study within a study, I guess.
Nice.
But I am really loving it so far. It is Living the Proverbs, and it is by Chuck Swindoll.
Oh, good, good. Always good.
Yeah, I always like Chuck Swindoll. But Living the Proverbs, and it's broken down to like daily devotions. And so, I mean, it's not going to be a whole year of devotions, it's broken down to about 5 days a week. So you've got week one, you know, day one, two, three, and four, and five, which is, you know, good. You just don't do it on the weekends.
Well, that's good. If you miss a day, you can catch up. You know, it's not so devastating. So that's awesome. Oh, I haven't seen that one.
So
it does sound good.
Now here's my next one. And these are, I actually bought them for Avery's brunch, but we have all kinds of football games coming up. You've got playoffs coming up, and these are just cocktail picks, and they were wooden. There's 400 pieces of them, so I can use them for all kinds of tailgate, but they had, some had little, one set of them had little wooden balls on them.
I was going to say, I have a few extra you left, and they had those cute wooden balls on the end. Those were cute.
And some had some little gold, shiny, shiny balls, and then shiny there were balls. Some that were shiny balls, so no. And then you had some that were, you know, had the two-prong little pick, and you know, and then the one prong, kind of like a sandwich.
Oh, pick. Yeah. Yeah.
So awesome. I really
That is great to have those in order, because then you just have them on hand.
Yeah.
And that makes everything festive. You could just stick that in a pickle and be like, here.
Yep.
And your snack.
I just got those at Amazon. Okay. But I really like them. The last thing that I have bought is a pet hair vacuum.
Oh.
But not a big vacuum. I mean, like a brush vacuum. So as I brush them, if I keep the, you can just vacuum, the hair just goes in a little tube.
You're vacuuming your dogs. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a brush. Dog. I forgot. We don't have to.
Yeah, I just have a dog.
I just had a moment of like, I know. Ow, that hurt. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Shadow gets vacuumed.
Shadow gets vacuumed. Okay. Because Dingo would not let me vacuum
him
to save
his life. I was literally
life.
Just I about mean, to go, Dingo let you do that?
Like, no, he totally would not let me out. Brush him for anything. He hated it. Shadow, I think, really secretly likes it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I can brush. I mean, it's a brush and you can brush them and it just sucks all that hair up. So you don't have, you know, because you're always having to pull that hair off and all that.
Yeah. So. And it goes everywhere. Long hair. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Those are very good. Very practical. Very nice. So we just really, really appreciate you sharing that. So
thanks.
Fantastic. Well, guys, thanks for sticking with us. We just had a lot to chat about today as we've been cooped up in our snow houses. I got out today for about the second time, or I don't know, since the snow, probably about the third time, maybe real quickly. So that was very exciting, and got my errands done, and now I got to get to crafting. I'm making stuff for the booth. I got to get Valentine's in the booth this week. So that's what I'm doing, but that's it for us today. We'll talk to you guys next week, right? I assume.
Yep.
We're going to be here. Yep. we record on inaugural. It's a big day. Maybe Monday's we should record. Do we want to record Tuesday?
On Sunday or Tuesday?
Can we do Tuesday? I know that pushes it, but then that'll be Tuesday. After the inauguration and after the ball game and after all that.
Yeah.
Let's do that. No, this doesn't change anything for y'all. It'll still be up Thursday, but that might be a smart thing to do, since there's a lot going on that we're going to want to watch. So, all right, guys, until next week, we'll see you soon. Goodbye, cornbread.
See corn dip.